Today's program is brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
I'm Linda Palaccio, host of A Taste of the Past. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Greetings and welcome to Animal Instinct here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Celia Kutcher, your host, also known as the Food Healer, and I'm really excited about today's episode. I'm going to be interviewing Julia Szabo, creator of Get Dressed, Change the World, which will soon be a book called Vegan Style. We're going to be talking about vegan fashion, cruelty-free fashion, and I don't know a lot about this, and I'm really excited to learn more, so let's get started. Julia, how are you today?
I'm great. Thank you, Celia. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. I'm excited about this topic. You know, it's like when vegan clothing was first getting started, it all felt like plastic and it was really uncomfortable and it was really like, you know, hardcore polyester and stuff. And so I'm psyched to hear about the advances that have been going on in this.
Well, that's the most exciting thing because as a fashion person, I have obviously very high standards for this, and I won't settle for anything less. And the great news is that so many people are just like me, and they won't settle. So the options are just tremendous now, and they've really stepped up to the plate, designers who love animals. It's
nice.
Great.
And so when did you become awakened to the whole idea of cruelty-free clothing?
Well, it's interesting. The first time happened when I was about 11 or 12. I was walking through Central Park with my parents, and my dad was wearing Converses, and I was wearing Keds. And we were approached by a very prominent person in New York called Adam Purple. He's the guy on his bicycle. He's like this super hippie, and he was a gardener, and he was just an extraordinary sort of activist person. He's still around, but anyway, so he approached us and commended us for wearing non-leather shoes.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, at that time there was no internet, and so I, you know, there was nowhere for me to go take that inquiry further. But then fast forward to I was working as the fashion critic for first Newsday, then the New York Post. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to Milan and Paris and covering the New York shows and, you know. And then I'm you know, in the middle of all this, I'm having adopted and rescued animals of the canine and feline persuasion. And so, you know, when I was exposed to fur on the runway, it was really kind of, you know, I didn't so much think of leather, but the fur certainly really got stuck in my craw. And then it became like a love-hate thing for fashion because it's like, well, why is this happening? But again, it didn't, you know, things weren't happening the way they are now at that time. This was the 90s. So now, you know, thankfully, we have people like Stella McCartney, who's really raised the bar. And, you know, she's such a pioneer in this. And she was just uncompromising, and everybody saw that, oh, wow, you know, that made it okay to do this. You were no longer some kind of crazed terrorist, you know, talking about animal welfare, God forbid.
It's true.
Yeah, so.
And then you've been involved in the fashion industry for a while, as we know. But, like, so what are your thoughts and concepts about fashion and what's going on these days?
Well, you know, here's the thing. The vegan movement really is, it's a consumer-driven thing. Mm-hmm. And the more of us that insist, just like Stella insisted, we can all insist. And we can vote with our leather-free, cruelty-free wallet. And we can say, you know, we're not going to support this unless you all give us options that, you know, for purses, wallets, belts, vegan leather motorcycle jackets. And again, this is not, you know, it's important to remember that this is not like some hemp, rough hippie, you know,
exactly.
Most people think of that I Love Lucy episode where, you know, they had these like, you know, awful sort of burlap bags for dresses, right? It's not that. It's not that. This is, you know, these are every bit as sleek and sometimes even sleeker than the things. And the best part is that they're easier to take care of. You know, leather garments and shoes and handbags, they stretch out, they get scuffed, they get, you know, our dogs and cats scratch at them and chew at them because they smell good to them. They smell like rawhide. So, so basically, which isn't raw, but anyway, that's a whole other discussion. So, you know, they perform better. They're performance items, and in a way that leather isn't.
That's interesting.
And you have to polish them less. You have to dry clean them not at all.
Really?
You can wash them. Yeah. I mean, it's
that's huge.
Moths won't get them. I mean, you know, right? The New York moths. The moths
Seriously.
Of New York. Forget gangs of New York. It's the moths of New York will go for your very, very pricey-est cashmere
Only
sweater.
The priciest.
Only the priciest. Yeah. But they will not bother with polyester because it will kill them to ingest it, basically. So, you know, or any kind of synthetic.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a win-win.
That's really funny. So you mentioned furs, but I want to talk more about it because I don't think people understand really how they're made, how they're processed, health and safety issues that are going on, the effect on the environment. So
it's tremendous. It really is. So once we delve into this and you know, big thanks to PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, for raising such awareness of this. And they are an amazing resource on their website for designers that are good and cruelty free.
Cool.
So basically, yeah, this has come to light that, you know, when animals are raised for leather and fur, it has a tremendous damaging impact on the environment. First of all, it's the poor animals who are kept confined.
Yeah.
You know, they're pooping, they have to eat, you know, they have to be, right? They have to be maintained until they're killed.
Totally.
So this is a lot of feces. It's just a lot of pressure and stress on the soil, on the environment, on the air. So then there's that. And then when the horribleness happens and they're killed, then we come, you know, to the rendering of the pelts. Yeah. And so for leather, you know, the fur has to be stripped off the hide. But for fur, obviously, the whole point was to keep the fur on the hide.
Right.
So in some ways, the leather is almost even more labor intensive.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you're looking at some of these very high-end fashion brands, you know, they treat the leather in certain ways. They dye it.
Mm-hmm.
They put perforations. They do patterns, textures onto it. So all of this results in energy expended and just waste, and gunk into the environment.
Yeah.
And then it, the chemicals. I mean, we're talking about really appetizing things like formaldehyde, arsenic, you know, cyanide, chromium. You know, these are the things that are coming into the soil.
Mm.
In areas close to tanneries, there have been reported, you know, higher incidences of leukemia.
Yeah.
You know, lung cancer is definitely caused by arsenic. So, you know, look, then you start thinking, and you know, I'm a health nut, as you know, and my, you know, I love my dogs and cats, but I also love fashion. So you know what? I want to be healthy and alive long enough to enjoy both as long as possible. Okay. So, and fashion really is, it's such a transformative thing. It's not a frivolous thing. It actually can lift your mood. It can give you confidence when you're feeling down. So I really wanted to be able to enjoy this.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's an amazing thing to see designers really coming forward with these amazing creations that are sexy. They're just so chic, so stylish. They're both timeless and very of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's yeah. So my old love-hate relationship with fashion, where I had to sort of, you know, forget what's the word? Apologize for that awful thing in the corner back there of killing animals, is no longer necessary. It's a love thing.
That's
now.
Awesome. I mean, one of the things that really makes me nuts is when the fur industry and the leather industry are using animals that are not being eaten and they're not produced as food. So you're basically just killing this thing just for its skin. And it's just in my book, it's a colossal waste of money.
Well, and not only that, but so when the fur is removed, this is causing all this extra, you know, debris into the environment because it's just dumped out there with the feces and everything else. And then when they have to remove the tissue from the other side. So here's the pelt, and then on top of it is the hair.
Okay.
And then on the bottom is like the, you know, yeah, fat like the and the matter. So yeah. all of that is being stripped off to be used for what? For dog rawhide. So it's the same chemicals that your dog is ingesting totally. When he or she is chomping on those things. And you know how they get really nasty and sticky.
Yeah.
So that's all that. So that's why rawhide, it's not raw. It's processed leather, basically. And it's the worst thing you can give your dog.
It is hide, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's
well, it's for the underside of the hide. It's like the stuff they can't use in the fine, you know, leather manufacturer. And then, you know, there's a terrible haunting picture of all these crocodiles, these dead crocodiles hanging upside down. And that was for Hermes. Yeah. I mean, look, you know, it's you know, crocodile, right? Coccodrillo in Italian. Yeah. This is such a luxury thing. Or lizard, you know, but these are really beautiful animals and they're being bred for this. Come on. This is terrible.
I saw that on Facebook actually about 2 weeks ago. It was all over the place of just like this line of dead crocodiles just hanging. And it's, you know, with the thing that's really interesting too is I'm interested to see in the future what's going to happen to those exotic leathers if they're going to get any kind of backlash for that, or if people will be running to Hermes going, oh my God, they've got crocodile now.
We'll see. It'll be very interesting. It's so amazing to see the dialogue happening, and it's not just among fashion people, and it's not just among animal people, it's anybody.
Yeah.
Because getting dressed is something we all do, and we all want to look good, youthful, of the moment, with it. We all want to look that way.
Totally.
So fashion really is an amazing way to convey the message of compassion, cruelty-free, animal-free, all of that. I mean, you know, it's a very exciting time right now. That's all I can say.
That's cool because, I mean, I remember, it was probably the mid-90s, there were a couple of vegan shoe stores that opened up in the city. And it was really funny because people were like, I mean, the vegans were overjoyed because finally, you know, something they could wear that wasn't leather. But, like, other people were just, like, totally confused by this whole concept and were like, what are these made out of? Or why would you do this? And that sort of thing, you know. So it's nice to see that people are finally understanding that there are options and can do more, you know.
Yeah. And also the young kids coming up through design school are aware of this from the get-go. So they don't have to be sort of like converted, if you will. They start out almost as virgin vegan fashionistas, or as I call it, compassionistas. So it's like, you know, it's a really, again, it's just such a positive thing. It's wonderful.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
And I love that they're getting more options too now, and that it's not all just hippie hemp clothing like you were saying, because so much of it was. And it was, I remember this one, the shoe store that I will keep nameless. It's a good place though.
Starts with an M.
Yep, exactly. It's two words, starts with an M. You guys know it. Good stuff, but you know, clunky, big shoes, and it was the 90s. Yeah. Everyone was wearing that stuff.
It's different now. It's different now. And even that very store that will be nameless it has extremely chic options.
Nice.
There's also the store here in Brooklyn called Kate, K-A-I-G-H-T. She has amazing taste. But yeah, it's like speaking of confusion, when you mentioned confusion, on the other side in the cruelty division, you know, there's also confusion about things like Angora.
Oh,
you know, like because,
I can't.
You know, I myself, and you know, I remember I had to be on TV, on Fox actually, in December 2013. And I went to Ann Taylor. And they had a sale on sweaters. So there was this bright red. I mean, what else do you wear on Fox but red? You know, sweater. And I bought it and I wore it. And then later when it came time to washing it and I saw the label, it was like Angora. And I was like,
no.
I was devastated. And it was right after that that PETA had that amazing video showing these poor rabbits having their skin torn off and they're shrieking bloody murder. It was terrible. So there's that. And then let's not also forget the feather aspect.
Yeah.
So feathers down. And again, it's confusing because you'll look at a puffer jacket and, you know, they'll look the same. But so you really have to be careful. Like I went shopping for a winter jacket this past winter and I went in and I said, I want nothing with down. And the salesperson was like, try this. And so I put it on and then the telltale sign is there's always one quill,
right,
that wants to come through even the barrier of this nylon, this incredible polyester. And anyway, so and I was like, oh well, this is not, I mean, this is exactly what I don't want. So it forces you to make the choice. But guess what, when you buy a down free parka, it's not gonna have that smell when it gets wet, you know, it's not gonna have that wet dog smell, you know, and it's gonna be cleaner, lighter, easier to wash, just all around good. It won't clump up way feathers do.
As a person who's always freezing, like, does this keep you warm?
It's, oh my God, it's better.
Really?
Like, Patagonia has this these puffers, and they're with, like, a lofty polyester. Polyester mm-hmm. is the warmest thing, forget it. I mean, even if you have polyester in your t-shirt, right?
It's true.
You sweat more
it's
with
true.
That t-shirt. That's difference. Why you have to have the cotton. But for winter, you want that. And you know, it's just like with North Face also has technology now
really?
That's non-down. Yeah, they're working on it.
Good.
It's called Thermoball. And so it's available now. But, you know, polar fleece, for instance, what's warmer than that?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what I did before polar fleece leggings when it was time to walk the dogs, because this enables me to stay outside in the winter time
totally.
Longer.
Totally.
And the dogs love that. So, yeah, no, they perform better. They look great. And
wow.
they just are better.
Wow. Because that's so. The one thing I hear from a lot of people. I mean, I have some vegan clothing. I don't go out of my way to find it. So I'm not, like, you know, pushing this hard. But, you know, people will be like, it's just not warm enough, or it's itchy, or, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, this
I
is like conditioning. This
yeah.
is conditioning. This is like, you know, people just feel like they have to, because there's some, you know, remember, for years we saw on a leather shoe or a leather bag, a sort of medallion in gold that said Vero Coyo, like, you know, genuine leather.
Genuine leather. Yeah. With a little pelt.
And so we forgot the leather part, and then it just became genuine, you know? And so everyone wants to be genuine. Nobody wants to be fake,
that's
right?
Point.
So the time has come to really think of this not as fake, but as vegan. So
yeah.
it's not faux fur, it's vegan fur. It's not faux leather, it's vegan leather.
Yeah.
You know, it's a positive thing. It's not a negative thing at all. It's really all win-win-win.
That's
I can't
really
even
cool.
think of what the only drawback used to be, like you said, 20 years ago when there wasn't a lot of chic
yeah.
to it.
Yeah,
but like we're saying, and now we have really important people in fashion. We
Good.
Have Calvin Klein, Ralph Lauren, Tommy Hilfiger, all like, you know, renouncing fur and using
wow.
faux fur,
wow.
using cruelty-free options, you know, and guess what? It's just, it's more stylish
yeah.
because the colors, you can really have fun with it. It's like so faux
yeah.
that it's fabulous, you know?
Well, and fur coats are heavy.
Well, exactly. These are light. They are. Fur coats are heavy.
They
and
weigh a ton.
Again, when they get wet, it's like, it's
oh,
a hassle. And then, okay, here's another thing. So all those chemicals that we were talking about leaching into the environment
yeah.
and you know, poisoning people, basically. So it's still on the pelt
yeah,
and
no
it's
kidding,
still on your purse. And I was just looking at a woman the other day. She was very proudly carrying her Louis Vuitton bag mm-hmm. on her shoulder, and she had a tank top on, so her skin was bare.
Yep.
So here it is on this part of your body, which is basically your lymph nodes.
Totally.
And that's real dangerous. Now, yes. I'm not saying it's the same as what the workers are exposed to at the tanneries.
Yeah.
It's not exactly the same amount, but look, there are crazy people who like go to bed with their bags.
Oh,
I mean,
totally,
you know, there
totally.
Are people who love their shoes. Look at Caitlyn Jenner. I mean, she is having a love affair with
she's
her clothes.
The best time.
She's having the best time. And so, she, you know, this is an intimate relationship. We put our bare foot into a leather
yeah,
shoe.
Yeah.
And time after time, day after day, you know, we have to wonder, is this also now an environmental risk for cancer? And that's something I don't want to have.
Yeah, no kidding.
So,
huh?
you know, if I can avoid that with vegan fashion, well, so be it. That's
totally.
What I'm And especially for children. Hello. Yeah. We don't yeah. want to expose children to these toxins.
That's the truth. Well, we need to take a break. I'm talking to Julia Szabo all about Get Trust, Change the World. We'll be back in a minute.
Today's break song is by Rectech.
Hello out there, it's Steve Jenkins. I'm with Fairway Markets. White Leghorn, Red Wattle, Bourbon Red, Navajo Churro. Well, these aren't names you're likely to hear at a Fairway butcher counter or any other counter today, but before the rise of factory farming, you would have. And at Heritage Foods USA, you still do. Heritage Foods USA exists to promote genetic diversity, small family farms, and a fully traceable food supply. You see, we believe the best way to help a family farmer is to buy from them. And Heritage Foods is honored to represent a network of family farmers, artisanal producers whose work presents an immeasurable gift to our food system. and to biodiversity. The meat we celebrate, whether it's heritage turkey, Japanese steaks, Berkshire pork, or Navajo churro lamb chops, is the righteous kind. From healthy animals of sound genetics that have been treated humanely and allowed to pursue their natural instincts, it's a simple fact. Animals raised according to this philosophy taste better. And as we like to say, you have to eat them to save them. Visit us at heritagefoodsusa.com for more information.
And we are back. I'm talking to Julia Szabo all about vegan style and what's been going on since the 90s. And I'm really excited about this.
Me too.
All right, Julia. So, vegans are going to hate me, but I have to ask this question. Let's talk about a situation when someone's got a farm, okay, and they take ideal care of their animals. These are not meat animals. They're using all this respect. And they have, like, sheep and alpaca. And sheep and alpaca have to be sheared or they can overheat and die. So what's wrong with using those fibers if the animals that are being sheared are being done carefully and with respect?
That's fine. That's 100% cool. Fine. You know, anything that comes from a small farm where, as you say, the animals are treated with respect mm-hmm. and kindly and they're, you know, free roaming and all that, that's great. But the thing about fashion is that when something becomes hip and hot, everybody wants it. And, you know, yeah. back in the day, Louis Vuitton was a, for instance, I don't mean to be picking on them, but okay, yeah. Louis Vuitton and Hermes and Prada were very, you know, very sort of exclusive labels. Yeah. These were things really for the very rich.
Totally.
And what has happened is with the demand and with just about everybody and their mother, sister, and brother-in-law wanting these things, mm-hmm. okay, and then... And then we have, you know, just entire new demographics, transgender people mm-hmm. buying them. You know, these become the ultimate status symbols. And that's why the production had to be stepped up. That's where the crisis is, okay. you know, is that in the everybody wanting it. So, again, those things are great. And you know, honestly, if somebody has to eat eggs, if they purchase them, they know they source them from a small farm, mm-hmm. which doesn't grind up the male chicks right. in a grinder because they're of no use. That's, again, that's okay.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Cool.
I'm not going to be a total wacky purist about this because yeah. nobody's perfect. And I'm happy with the smallest amount of change. You
and
know?
I think that a lot of people are a little bit afraid, but many people are a little bit afraid of veganism or vegans as well, because a lot of it is very black and white and there's a lot of gray missing in veganism. And I understand that. Like, I respect it. You know, death is bad and I get that. But there are... It's not that simple yeah. in the world we live in. You right. know what I mean? Yeah. So I think that if there is someone doing something good and that can be used, then...
Exactly. It's what I like to call the black plastic bag syndrome. It's like, you know, you see these black plastic bags flying all over the street. And yeah. it's because people very thoughtlessly, you know, will purchase something very small, like yeah. one pack of cigarettes. And then they must have that bag.
Totally.
And then they throw it out the minute they step
totally.
Out there. And they don't even throw it into the garbage. It just flies and then it ends up in a seal's mouth. And then Rob Lowe has to talk about it on a Dawn commercial or whatever, right?
Totally.
And this is very, you know, this is really moves me. So, you know, I'm that freak you'll see walking around picking up those damn plastic yeah. bags and putting them in the recycle bin on the, you know, in yeah. the main thoroughfares
yeah.
because I can't stand that idea. But at the same time, so one time I was walking on the street and this fellow dog person asked me, she goes, but if you put that there, are they going to be processed? This was when I was putting them in the garbage,
oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
She goes, are they going to be processed properly and recycled? And I said, well, no, but at yeah. least they won't be flying in the air and yeah. eaten by a seal. So I've saved at least one animal yeah. doing this. And that's the thing. If we, you know, anything that will save an animal, at least mm-hmm. one of them, just mm-hmm. do something. Do one little thing, even if you can't be a total purist,
yeah.
you know, but just be conscious of it. And, you know, guess what? You know, these choices, when we what we clothe ourselves in, if it's compassionate and cruelty free, I really believe that energy comes out in us.
Yeah.
You know, since I've been vegan, I feel like I'm smarter. I have better ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, I don't know, I feel lighter on my feet. So.
I agree with you. I mean, I've cut down. I grew up eating meat at least once a day, usually twice, three times. And now I eat meat maybe once a week. And I definitely am not as reactive as I used to be.
Yeah.
By far.
Well, that's
know?
The thing. Again, it's a luxury. And it's like, and when we want that luxury three times a day.
Yeah.
And we have to have head-to-toe Prada, Hermes, and whatever that other one was, Louis Vuitton. right? You know, that's when the excess comes into it.
Totally.
And And the excess really did happen with fashion and with the whole celebrity angle of fashion. Mm-hmm. And so thank God for somebody like Stella McCartney, who is really showing that celebrities look even sexier in stuff that doesn't involve all those cruelty full things. Totally. Cruelty free is the way.
Okay, so let's talk about this fun little switch in direction. Let's talk about the fur and leather coming out of China, because there's tons of it. Do you have any idea what they're using?
Yeah, it's basically dogs and cats.
Oh, God.
I mean, and it's awful. And, you know, you think about what, you know, how cheap those canine feline lives are in China. Then you look at how cheap, you know, there's some cheap leather available at certain stores.
Super cheap.
Okay, well, you know. Yeah. Put the two together. That's what it is. And, you know, again, thank you, PETA, for raising awareness of this. There, you know, I watched the video of dogs being skinned alive.
Oh,
they're skinned alive because it's easier for the people doing the skinning, and they're still pulsing and alive at the end.
No.
I mean, I was like weeping, and I was looking at the video and just saying, "I'm sorry," times over. You know, it's really awakening.
I can't even do the ASPCA commercials. Like,
yeah,
the Sarah
I know.
Blanca ones. Like, I can't do any of that stuff.
I know.
So, like,
I know. Well, see, I forced myself to watch Blackfish, you know, twice. So, I mean, you know, but these are things that, you know, but even if we can't, let's just listen to someone telling you about it. Because there is really no difference between that calf or that, you know, calf skin. Imagine that. So, okay, calf for veal, and then calf skin for that very supple leather.
Totally.
I mean, you know, there's no difference between that and then ripping the skin off of a bunny or a dog or a cat. Or, you know, it's terrible.
No, and I want to clarify, I think Blackfish was an amazing movie. I'm just telling you that I'm not capable of being in something like that without basically having a nervous breakdown or, like, PTSD.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be like, ew, bad movie. No. I think everyone should really go see it except for me, because I'm a big wimp, so... But I'll read the book. There's a book. I'll read it.
There is. Death at SeaWorld.
Nice.
It so happens.
Are you serious?
Yeah. You can. I'll get you a copy.
Okay,
soon.
Cool. Thanks.
Don't look at the pictures.
Oh, God. It's so true.
Why are we laughing?
I don't know. I'm just like so...
Levity.
Like,
levity. You know, no, we need to lighten up. Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about, like, the accessories that people don't think about either, like handbags, wallets, you know, bracelets, that sort of thing.
Okay, well, what about dog leashes and collars?
Yeah, I think they're good, too.
Yeah, and I think about, too, how two of my dogs had cancer. And,
really?
You know, and I used to have leather collars on them. And, you know, I mean, I'm not saying it was the absolute thing. It could have also been crappy dog food.
Totally.
But at the same time, you know, you have to wonder. Again, we're putting close to ourselves and our loved ones these things that are just soaked in chemicals. You know, there was this movie that was just premiered in New York. It's called The True Cost. It's a documentary about unfair conditions for workers in the fashion industry and, you know, in the third world. And so the problem here is that basically, animals weren't really part of that dialogue in that film.
Yeah.
But what was very interesting, I just lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. You see, this can be upsetting.
It happens.
Is that, I'm sorry. I lost my train of thought on that one, but it'll come back.
That's okay. Oh, leather. Leather and dogs and collars.
Oh, yes. Okay, so there's a... Thank you. There's a scene where there are all these pelts, and you see these workers just periodically, as they walk by, they just throw another gallon of chemicals on it.
Oh.
And they're standing there in the sun and the flies. I mean, it's you know, it is a dead skin.
Yeah.
And if there are people, I'm not one of them, but there are people who, if God forbid their dog or their cat dies at home, they're like, I can't touch that. I've once interviewed a woman, you know, and she knows better, but she just couldn't cope with the fact that her beloved Cavalier King Charles Spaniel was dead. So she called her local butcher to come and pick her up, because she didn't want to handle the dead animal.
Like,
now, if
butcher?
This is your own baby, I know, but if this is, she figured that was their job. So you know, like, whatever. But this is if someone can't even handle their own dead beautiful little dog, of course they won't be. So why can't we just transcend that thought, that concept of ew, to this and say, ew, I don't want that next to my skin or my child's skin or my dog's skin or my cat's skin. And so, you know, I'm going to make that extra effort. And guess what? It's not such a hard effort. You just go online. PETA is an awesome resource. They've become like the fashion arbiters.
And I think that's great that they're doing that because they're so high. I mean, they get a little radical at times, but they're getting the message across. And somehow they have intertwined in the fashion world, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, and this kind of tamed PETA or made PETA more palatable to people who thought they weren't their cup of tea.
Totally.
Yeah. I mean, I've always loved PETA, but that's me. But yeah, you know, it's not terrorism. It's fashion. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's, you know, if it's pretty, then, it's a dead pelt, but it looks so good on you.
Right.
You
know. There's no more excuses.
And I love that.
Yeah.
So name some chic fashion lines that you like.
Well, it's interesting because there are so many now.
That's
and
so
they're
cool.
popping up. And the wonderful thing for me as a fashion journalist is to see young designers coming up.
Nice.
Who are kind of like, virgin vegan. Like, they don't have to convert. They don't have to, like, you know, wrap their heads around how to switch from this fabric. From this fur to this fabric, mm-hmm. right? So these are people who are the ingenuity, the innovation. This is what fashion and design were supposed to be about.
Nice.
Okay? So some of my favorites. There's Freedom of Animals, which is right here in New York City.
Cool.
And it's a vegan handbag line.
Nice.
And she just did a capsule collection for H&M.
Cool.
Conscious. Yeah.
Cool.
So she has this beautiful bag, which is a circle. Mm-hmm. It's a circle and it's embossed to look like reptile
nice.
Skin. And you wouldn't know that it wasn't.
Wow.
And it's a circle with a long strap so you can wear it crossbody.
Oh,
you can wear it on one shoulder and it hangs way down. So, again, it's a very sort of 60s mod style that's very
cool.
timeless. Okay. So there's that. There are beautiful, beautiful shoes. Olsen House is Elizabeth Olsen of Olsen HAUS, Olsen House. And she's sold at that shoe store and also at Kate. And she does beautiful high heel, really sexy shoes. And the last, you know, the shape of the front of the shoe is very forgiving.
Nice.
But yet very sexy.
Nice.
And she's got high, high platforms. Like, these are really killer shoes.
Cool.
Interest.
Are they comfortable?
They are. They
That's
are.
Cool.
That's the incredible thing. And one of my favorite shoe designers is Rebecca Mink, but her company is called Mink Shoes.
Okay.
So Mink liked the fur deliberately. She wanted to. Yeah. Well, she wanted to redefine that.
Nice.
So that Mink would be no longer something cruel, but something compassionate. And she has every kind of beautiful high heel that
cool.
you would want. Platform, without platform, open toe, open back. Sandal, boot, you name it.
Nice.
She's got everything, and they're great. There's velvet. There's vegan leather.
Cool.
Vegan suede.
Cool.
Bejeweled styles. So there's that. That's actually the pink sandal with the foot.
Mm-hmm.
That's my avatar.
Yeah,
on,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
that's
totally.
One of her shoes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
a nice piece.
And they feel terrific on. They're really comfy.
That's what's really important, too, because I did get a pair of vegan shoes in the 90s, and they almost killed me. But in all fairness, it was a new concept. You know, it was brand new, so it wasn't like, you know, oh, we've been making these for 30 years, try
right,
this
yeah right.
I was like
yep and actually it, you know, Payless was, you know, responsible for a lot of people understanding that vegan shoes could be sexy and great.
Yeah.
And Christian Siriano, that designer who won for the
I
Project Runway, he does beautiful shoes for Payless.
Nice.
And he's now the exclusive. For a while, they had a lot of other designers.
Mm-hmm.
They had Isabel Toledo. They had, I'm having a...
Oh,
anyway,
okay.
It's one of those days. Lila Rose,
oh,
she is
yeah.
a wonderful. Anyway, but they phased that out, and so now they're strictly with Christian Siriano. But he does really great work,
nice.
and the shoes are comfy. And that was also one of the ways that I came back to this. Like, wow, you know, I don't have to use shoe polish. The shoes
That's
last.
Cool.
They don't scuff up. They don't get messed up.
That's
they don't,
amazing.
You know how, like, the tip of your very expensive leather
destroyed.
One walk in the city and
it's chewed. Boom.
Yeah, it doesn't happen with this.
That's cool.
At least not as fast.
That alone is, like, worth it.
And I was running around. I had a pair of his gladiator sandals that zipped up the front.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it was with a, like, faux, you know, crocodile
mm-hmm.
texture.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally could, like, practically jog in them.
Wow.
I traveled in them.
Wow.
I could jog through the airport in them. Yeah.
That's
impressive. It's well made, you know?
I mean, it has to be, because I know you well enough that if it was garbage, you would never want to come on the show and talk
about this. You know me.
It's nice to hear you so excited about the stuff, too, because in my book, that means that it is truly quality stuff.
Well, this brought me back to fashion, you know, because before I used to be the fashion critic for The Post, and then we talked about this in another show.
Yeah.
My book, Medicine Dog, is all about how right before Fashion Week in 99, I got very sick and I almost died. And so someone took my job, and that's how I became the pets columnist for the New York Post. And I dove into that, and I was so happy to do it. But you know what? That part of me that loves fashion is so thrilled about this, because now I can, it's so enjoyable. And I envy those people who are kids now and coming up, and they can enjoy this their whole lives.
Totally.
You know, they don't have to feel bad about those skeletons in their closet. Literally.
Yeah,
shoes and bags and
great
leather
line.
Jackets.
Put on funk. Girl, save it.
High five.
I love it. Well, sadly, we are running out of time. This sucks. I love talking to you, Jane. You're always so much fun.
Back at you.
So, give me some sources so our audience can hear, like, that you like and trust.
Okay.
So they can find some stuff out for themselves.
Okay, well, I hope you'll come to getdressedchangetheworld.com.
Yeah, do that. That's important.
that's where I'm, sweating blood. And so there's that. Cruelty-free cruelty. No, just kidding. Anyway, so there's that. And there's PETA.org, which is really wonderful. They have everything from fashion to home design and every kind of tip, you know, even, if you're going to buy a car, consider buying a Tesla.
Yeah.
Because it's the only one that offers a fully vegan interior, including the steering wheel.
No way.
Way.
Wow.
Way. Okay. Elon Musk knows what he's
That's
doing.
That's cool.
He's a good guy.
That's
he's a
really
Cancer.
Cool.
That's a good sign. Okay. So, so there's that. And, all over England is really where the innovation is happening.
It's amazing.
It's fitting that right after Independence Day, we should be, you know, kowtowing to the United Kingdom again. But, you know, it can't be helped. And, of course, it's the home of Stella McCartney,
exactly.
Who is international. But it's also the home of amazing labels like NAC Fashion, which is
cool.
N like Nancy, AK, which stands for No Animals Killed.
Nice.
Fashion. And they make amazing high-heeled shoes.
Nice.
That you would die
nice.
To see. And there's also a label called Julian Hakes, H-A-K-E-S. Mm. He was an architect, and he made this incredible shoe called the Mojito, which looks looks like the lime peel on a mojito, and it is actually like an architecture.
Beautiful.
It's a piece of architecture for the foot. You'll see it has no foot plate.
Nice.
And it gives you stability, and it's very sexy, and it's totally vegan.
Nice.
So there's those three, and there's so many more. There's an amazing designer in London called Ivana Basilotta. She's Italian ancestry, based in London, and she creates not only incredible shoes, all vegan and cruelty free, but dresses made out of something called peace silk, because that's something we didn't discuss, but briefly, you know, the silkworms are killed in the process of making silk, but there is a way to do it where they're not.
Oh,
it
wow.
just takes a little bit more effort, a little bit more investment, but it's so worth it, and it's called Ahimsa or peace silk.
Cool.
And so you can enjoy silk. It's just, again, it's this consciousness.
Yeah.
It's just taking care. It's pick up that black plastic bag off the street. You know, just one little gesture.
I love it. So any of you Instagram fans out there, Julia, what's your Instagram? Because it is an encyclopedia of information on this topic. So, like, if you're a vegan, if you're interested in this, follow Julia on this site.
Thank you. I love you. It's called @GetDressedChangeTheWorld on Instagram. On Twitter, it's @GetDressedCTW because they wouldn't let me have the whole thing. And the URL for the website is GetDressedChangeTheWorld.com. And the book will be called Vegan Style So Far.
Yay.
It might change, but that's what it is.
And then next week, I'm going to have a new episode. Julia's going to be back with me, and we're going to be talking
Yay.
More about vegan stuff. However, we're not going to be
Yay.
Talking fashion. And I just want to take a minute and thank all the listeners personally. You guys, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be able to do what I do. So I wanted to say thank you so much for taking time out of your Mondays, especially during this rush hour, to listen to the show. And if you like what you hear, please leave comments on either iTunes or Stitcher or even on the Heritage Radio Animal Instinct homepage. That would be awesome to hear more from you. Today's music was by Rectech. Thank you to Jack Inslee, my engineer today, who's back. I haven't seen him in a while. It's been good to see him. And now we're going to hear all about 3D printing on a clip from What Doesn't Kill You. Hope you guys have a great week and take care.
You know, when we first printed our you know, first cookie and chocolate and so forth, it was more of a frivolous activity. As I said, you know, we were engaged in printing robots and doing serious engineering, and this was sort of on the side. But very quickly we realized that, first of all, there's a lot of interest in this technology and what it could do, but also that it has a lot, it potentially combines cooking with information technology in a new way.
Professor Hod Lipson explains how 3D printing will change the way you eat on episode 150 of What Doesn't Kill You, hosted by Katie Kiefer.
So one application of that is, of course, printing based on biometrics. So, and we actually open our book with the sort of a scene depicting a future day in your life when you wake up, and based on your biometrics from that night coming from your watch or whatever, your breakfast with eggs and muffin and whatever is printed that has exactly the right level of calcium, sugar, you know, whatever ingredients, nutrients you need, doesn't have the things you don't need, so forth. And it's really the sky's the limit. Once you put this kind of cooking under the control of a computer that is connected to all this biometrics and the latest information, there's just so many things that could be done that it's mind-boggling to me.
So theoretically, Dr. Lipson, we could be engineering our own like diet plan. Say you needed to lose 5 pounds.
Absolutely.
Calibrate that into your machine and then say, okay, feed me that stuff.
Yeah, you can say factor, you know, this is what I want to do. Factor that in into my breakfast, and it will be factored in whatever way. Again, that is not just a static program, but it will be based on your biometrics. So it will be customized and individualized. And you could also imagine that these things adapt over time. So people can share these recipes. It's not just a fixed recipe that's in a book, and it's one size fits all.
Want to dig deep into the future of 3D printing? Listen to episode 150 of What Doesn't Kill You, hosted by Katie Kiefer, and find archived episodes on heritageradionetwork.org and iTunes. This piece was brought to you by the International Culinary Center, culinarycenter.com.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.